This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
We begin in the name of Allah. All praise and glory be to Allah, and may His finest peace and blessings be upon His Messenger Muhammad and his family and his companions and all those who adhere to his guidance. We welcome everyone back to our gatherings around the ayat of the Quran, lessons from the short surahs of the Quran. We had concluded Surah Al-Alaq last, and now we will combine between the surah before and the surah after Surah Al-Alaq. Surah Al-Alaq was a longer surah, relatively, and so we had to give it a night on its own. But the surah before it and after it are At-Tin and Al-Qadr, and they're relatively shorter, and so we'll combine them in one night, inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us from His glorious book what we do not know, and to remind us of it, to remind us what we have forgotten of it, and to allow us to recite it by night and by day in a way that earns us His pleasure. Allahumma ameen. So, Surah At-Tin. At-Tin means the fig, the fruit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with three or four oaths at the onset of Surah At-Tin. He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَطُورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ. So he swears by the teen, the fig, and the zaytun. So whether this is one oath or two is a little bit semantics here, right? At-teen, the fig, and the zaytun, the olive. Waturi Sinin, and Mount Sinai, the mountain of Sinai in North Egypt, right? وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ, and this secure town, this secure city. This secure city is referring to what? Mecca, for sure, by the agreement of the Mufassirin. There's no discrepancy here, no debate. But we're working backwards, because to the beginning of the surah. That's why the ayat haven't changed yet. Turi Sinin, Mount Sinai, is what? What's Mount Sinai? What is significant about Mount Sinai? It is the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Mount Sinai, spoke to Musa alayhi salam. It was upon Mount Sinai, Turi Sinin, or Turi Sina, Sinai. So that brings us back to At-Tin and Az-Zaytun. Allah swears by the fig and swears by the olive. Why does he swear by the fig and the olive? Some scholars said, due to the inherent blessed nature of these two fruits. Are olives fruits? Come on, man, they have seeds, so they're fruits. They ruined my life too when they told me that tomatoes are fruits, but you gotta call a spade a spade. Cucumbers are fruits, right? As blasphemous as that sounds. But these two, right? The teen and the zaytun are blessed food items. So much benefit in them, right? And Allah swears by them due to their great value, their great inherent value. Other scholars said it is not just about their value. It is about where they are known to be harvested from. Which is what? Al-Aqsa and its surrounding lands. Jerusalem and the Sham in general, right? The blessed lands of Palestine are known historically to be lands of olive trees and also lands of figs. And so why did they say that this swear, they always do this, by the way, scholars in the Quran, when they're looking at the oaths, the qasam, the aqsam of the Quran, they look into what the meaning of the qasam is, or what the qasam is pointing us to. Maybe it's a symbol of something else, indicating something else. And they also look at a third item we will talk about later, which is the relationship of what is being sworn by with what is being sworn about. I swear by Allah about something. So Allah swears by whatever He wishes. We only swear by Allah, but He swears by whatever He wishes of His creation. So here He swears by At-Tin and Az-Zaytun and Turi Sinin and Hadha Al-Balad Al-Amin. They said this must also be alluding to the blessed lands of Jerusalem. Why? Because the oaths after it are blessed lands. So to match up, Turi Sinin is a blessed land. Mecca is the most blessed of lands. Therefore, At-Tin and Az-Zaytun are also a reference to the blessed land of Jerusalem. So Mecca is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was spoken to. And Musa alayhi salam, on Turi Sina, he was spoken to. And Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, the son of Mary, peace be upon him, and many others, in the lands of Jerusalem, they were spoken to. And I don't mean direct speech, the distinction of Musa alayhi salam is known, but meaning these are places of revelation. And so Allah swears by these three greatest places on earth. Think about that. There are many great events that have happened in human history. Some of them even have religious significance. Days where Allah manifested His power and gave support to the pious and did away with nations in an instant. Great days, great events. But the greatest of all events happened in these three lands, which is the event of the heavens connecting with the earth, with revelation descending upon mankind. These are the greatest of all events, the events that happen in these lands. You know, this is why Umm Ayman, the caretaker of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was among those who nursed him in his infancy, salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. But she also outlived him. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Abu Bakr and Umar said, let us go visit Umm Ayman, the same way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to maintain regular visits of her. Let's go pay her respects. And when they entered upon her, they found her weeping, weeping, weeping. They said to her, don't you know that what awaited him with Allah, what awaited the Prophet with Allah, is better for him than anything in this world? So she said to them, I do not cry because I don't know that which is with Allah is better for His Prophet. وَإِنَّمَا أَبْكِي عَلَى انْقِطَاعِ الْوَحِي. I cry about the interruption, the termination of revelation. And so the two of them started crying with her. It was an unparalleled event. Imagine, like you're in a house, and events take place, and the Quran comes down and addresses them. That's what was happening. The skies open, and news comes down. You know, even the ayah, يَحْذَرُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ أَن تُنَزَّلَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُورَةٌ تُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. The hypocrites, it gives you a feel of what it was like. The hypocrites are paranoid, يَحْذَرُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ, are paranoid that another surah will come down on their heads, عَلَيْهِمْ, on top of them, that informs them, meaning everybody else, or informs them, tells them about themselves, that informs them about what is happening in their hearts. Surah would come down, clarify issues. Surah would come down, expose issues. Right? And then, خلاص, it is over. Never again until the Day of Judgment. The scholars also said the connection between At-Tin and Zaytun. Sorry, I'm going to break my neck tonight. At-Tin and Zaytun, the figs and the olives, they are blessed fruits that nourish the bodies. Throughout human history, Allah has provided them for people. And the revelation is what? The nourishment of the souls. So He who provided you with these blessed produces, to nourish your bodies, has provided you with something even better, which is the revelation. So there are multiple meanings at play here at once. Now for what is being sworn about. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We have created the human being in the best taqweem. What does it say here? Stature? Form. So it depends on how you translate taqweem. You're going to have to pick an interpretation and then translate it. But there's not one interpretation. The Quran is layered in its meanings, as we've said. The most eloquent of speakers, the creator of our psychologies, the creator of our tongues, Azza wa Jal. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Who is better than Allah in speech? And so, we have certainly created the human being in the best of forms. Does that mean the image Allah gave us? Yes. Other surahs in the Quran call our attention to that. هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. No, this is not the ayah. This is Ali Imran. In التغابن. يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ. صَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ. Right? He gave you ahsan, the best of images. So your form, meaning your physical features. Yes? Others said taqweem comes from qiyam. It also calls our attention to qiyam. Qiyam is to be standing. Meaning he gave us our upright nature, our upright stature. So that's why some translators translated as stature. Our upright form, skeletal form. You don't have to put your face to the ground to eat. Right? You don't sort of slide around, unless you're in the army, right? Or sort of... What do they call this? Anybody? Huh? Crawling works fine. Thought there was like a cool technical military term for it. None of you guys are militant? Islam means peace. I always forget. So there is the stature, right? That Allah did not have you on your bellies, did not even have you on all fours with your head down, doesn't have you sort of eating off of the floor. You are upright. And you have a hand, and you have an opposable thumb, and you bring the food to it. This is of how Allah has honored the human being. But also gave you intellect. Of what he gave you is that he gave you superior intellect. That's of the ways that he honored the human being. Right? We have created the human being in the best of forms, meaning he gave him intellect. Superior intellect. What is superior about human intellect? Anyone know? Yeah, you have agency. You have the ability to decide, make a moral choice. Also, to be able to evaluate what is and isn't a moral choice. How else can you make it if you can't evaluate it, right? In sort of the psychology world, which I always act like I am familiar with, but I'm not, they call it metacognition. The ability to think about how you think, right? Animals can think. Animals have intelligence, right? But you are obligated to evaluate, to introspect, to morally audit yourself because you can. You know how to do that. Allah gave you that gift. And it's also a very big responsibility. That's of the form, of the reasons why the angels prostrated to the son of Adam, or to Adam alayhi salam, to the human beings, right? But they also said, أحسن تقويم means morally upright. Not just intelligent, able to become upright, but he made you morally upright. He gave you the potential to be morally upright. How? How can you be morally upright? What do you need to be morally upright? I'm going to get into sort of like moral philosophy here, huh? You need revelation. He just swore by the three places revelation descended, and he said the human being was created in the most upright form. He was created with potential to be a moral creature, right? To be a moral being. You know, I'm not going to get too sort of philosophical on you, but where does how can you be moral? You have to believe morality exists, right? And atheists shouldn't believe that morality exists because everything is stardust. Everything is hydrogen and nitrogen. So, right? They should not believe that they are good people. You're saying I can't be a good person, I'm an atheist? No, I'm saying you shouldn't believe you're a good person because you're not supposed to explain anything except in terms of the material, right? So you have to believe morality exists, okay? Number two, you're going to have to define morality. What is right and wrong? Human beings have never agreed on this, by the way. Ever. That's why you need revelation. But that's not just it. You need motivation towards morality. You need a motivational structure. And that also is found in the revelation. So it really all boils down to what? His wahi. We cannot be moral, right? Creatures, we cannot be moral beings. We cannot be, fulfill our potential of ahsani taqweem, the trophy creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, except by virtue of the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the connection the scholars are drawing for us of why these are being sworn by regarding about this. This is the relationship. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ of the meanings is morally upright. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ And then, we returned him to the lowest of the low. Is that what it says? Okay, I'm going to keep doing this till my neck pulls and I'm going to get a stinger. Right? And then we reverted him back to being the lowest of the low. Does that mean physically or morally? Both. You see, the scholars that said ahsani taqweem means morally upright. I'm sorry, physically upright. Then they start decaying, right? Till you decompose altogether, right? You become rubble, you become worm food, right? And those that said intelligence and moral uprightness, they say that the one who does not take advantage of the wahi becomes the worst of the worst, becomes worse than the animals. Remember we said that? You land on planet Earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them what? He says, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى I'm going to send to you guidance, O Adam, and your children. Whoever follows it will never be miserable, will never be lost. But without it, whoever doesn't follow it will be the lost of the lost. No one will be more lost than them. Because you know, you're getting thrown into this world and there's desire in this world. There's desire for this world. There's temptation in this world. What do I do? Can I kill this person to get what I want? Can I just sort of like, without accountability, have a relationship with that person? What do I do? He gives you a rule book. And he gives you inspiration to motivate you in the right directions. And so if you don't follow it, the animal within takes over. And subhanAllah, notice in the revelation, in the Quran in general, moral failure is always referred to as downward. That's why the scholar said this. You know, even you always hear, عَلَى هُدَى أَوْ فِي ضَلَالٍ You are upon guidance or in misguidance. Yes? A person is sort of elevated in Jannah by the Quran, recite and climb. A person is cast into the fire, right? Plummets for 70 years. Based on whichever of the two, right? If you gave in to your base desires, the components of your creation, by the way, you were made from mud. The lowly substance, right? If you give in to the desires of this world, it brings you down, right? And you were also created with the spirit. The spirit was blown into you. And it wants, it needs, it's figs and it's olives. It's nourishment. It came from above and it gets it from above. So you either rise by responding to the call of the spirit, the cravings of the spirit, or you are debased. You are lowered by giving in, kicking revelation to the curb, and giving to the cheap thrills of the physical desire or the worldly desires. They're not just physical. ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون except for those who have believed and worked righteousness for them is a أجر a reward that is uninterrupted. It says uninterrupted? What is it? A reward that is what? Huh? Read, man. Read. Tell me. Never ending. A reward that is never ending. You know, it's interesting that this is the secret of consistency. May Allah make us consistent. Even if we're going to say the human being was given, you know, a period of great potential, even physically, right? Honored. we get weak, right? But if you are consistent with Allah Azza wa Jal for your stronger years, even when you begin deteriorating, you're still getting rewarded for it. The stuff you couldn't do, right? It's as if you're saying to Allah, Ya Allah, I'm pushing. I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm not going to accept excuses. Then when really he takes away the opportunity from you, he will not take away the reward from you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ سَافَرْ كُتِبَ لَهُ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُ صَحِيحًا مُقِيمًا. When the servant falls sick or the servant travels, it is written for him, meaning the full reward, all that he used to do while he was healthy, while he was resident.
I'm sorry, my mouse is misbehaving.
And this is also the reason why Jannah is forever. People usually don't ask why is Jannah forever. They usually ask why is the fire forever. The double standard of humanity, right? But why is Jannah forever? Because he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one that ended your life at a certain term. But you proved in your life that you are going to be consistent. So he ended your life at 70. He knows what you would have done if you would have lived 7,000 years. You would have worshipped him forever, as long as you could have. So he's going to reward you for it forever. And likewise, the other side. People say, why is the hellfire forever? Since I brought it up. It's because Allah knows from you that you would have disbelieved forever. He gave you this life to prove it to yourself. That is the oversight of many people. Not to laugh about this because it is a light matter. But people say, how come this? And he's showing you. The point of life is to show you. Pay attention. Allah Azza wa Jal says, if you could only see them as they stand over the cliff of the fire. And they say, Ya laytana nurad. If we wish we could go back to this life. Allah says, وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ. And if they were sent back to this world, they would once again repeat what they were prohibited from. Disbelief in Allah and deviant acts and misconduct. They would go back and do it. Can you imagine? Even if they saw the hellfire and they went back, they'd do it again and again and again forever. This is why the hellfire would be for some people forever. And then the surah ends by saying, فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ. How do they translate that one? Now, after all of this, right? How can you deny that there's going to be judgment? How can you deny the day of judgment? How can you deny the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his religion? أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Is Allah not the most wise of all judges? He's the most wise of all judges, therefore you should be going to him for judgment. Right? Isn't he the most wise? Because if you reject the determinations of Allah, right? The revelation. If you reject this, this is automatically an accusation against the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're inseparable. Like when shaitan says, no, I'm not going to prostrate. Why? Because he does not believe it's the right thing to do. He's accusing Allah azza wa jal's wisdom by, he even spelled it out. He said, I'm made from fire. He's made from, likewise, any person. What are you talking about this rule, man? It's 2024, man. Sharia stuff is so outdated, right? This means your fitrah, Allah created you in the best stature, the best point of readiness to receive the revelation and become the best human being. You've become deformed in your fitrah. Shaitan has infected you, right, with being critical of God and his wise judgments. This is what you need to keep in mind. You know, throughout the Quran, you find this common theme. That shaitan works to alter the creation of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَتَخِذَنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِكَ نَصِيبًا مَفْرُوضًا. And shaitan has declared, Allah is telling us, his words, to warn us, right? I will abduct a hefty share of your servants. وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ. And I'm going to mislead them. وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ. And I'm going to fill them with false wishes. وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ. And I'm going to instruct them فَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ أَذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ, to clip off the ears of the cattle. This is a superstitious act they used to do in Arabia. Clip, alter creation of Allah, right? وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, and I will command them to alter, meaning in other ways as well, the creation of Allah. All the time, being dissatisfied with your physical creation is a part of that. But also, he works to alter your fitrah, your inner nature. He works to alter it. And when you find yourself incapable of accepting Allah's judgments in His revelation, the theme of the surah is because the fitrah has been compromised. The fitrah has been compromised. That is why, subhanAllah, it's such a wise example he gave, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, every son of Adam is born upon the fitrah, upon this pure state of readiness for Islam. We're not born Muslim, by the way. We're born in a state of readiness for Islam, right? Okay. He says, then his parents turn him into a Jew or a Christian or a fire worshiper. You know this hadith, well-known hadith. Because of socialization. They socialize him into Judaism or Christianity or Magianism, fire worship, right? Then he says, كَمَا تُنْتَجُ الْبَهِيمَةُ الْجَمْعَاءِ هَلْ تَجِدُونَ فِيهَا مِنْ جَدْعَاءِ. This is just like the behemoth, the animal, the sheep or the cattle or that is born full, born whole. No marring, right? No missing parts. Born whole, jam'a. هَلْ تَجِدُونَ فِيهَا مِنْ جَدْعَاءِ. Do you detect any missing ears, any missing nose in it? Any amputations in its face? What's he referring to? He's saying the people in Mecca that have been tricked by shaitan pre-Islam to sort of mutilate their animals like this for some superstitious reason, right? They cut off its ears, subhanAllah, they cut off its ears. And the first thing shaitan tries to do is plug your ears to the revelation. It's unwise, it's outdated, or maybe he'll ease it in slowly that it's not for our generation at least, right? Nothing to do with me. He says, just like the animals that are missing their ears, their kids come out whole. It's the reset. Everyone has their own fitrah because everyone will be fairly accounted for or be held fairly accountable. And so the point being, the more you surround yourself, socialized, right, with words other than the words of revelation, the more critical you will be with revelation, the more alien you will feel with the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal. It will change you. The other words will change you. Change your perspective, change your reference points, change your worldview. You know, Dr. Hatim al-Hajj, they asked him a question once, and I'll close on the surah with this, and it looks like we're pushing Al-Qadr to another day. And I apologize for that. But Dr. Hatim al-Hajj, they asked him about the Muslim communities that, struggle to have their own fully separate graveyards. Like, what is the severity? Because we can't do any better right now. We can't mobilize enough funds. So he said the severity of being buried with non-Muslims. He said you should be more worried about living with them. Right? I mean, this is part of sort of the sanctity of the Muslim, and he gets his own dedicated graveyard and all of this, right? But the bigger danger is not that. If you tried your best, you couldn't find them sort of, okay. But living with them is the bigger problem. This doesn't mean hostility and animosity. The whole khutbah today was about goodwill. And it is about you being protective of what will alter the way you hear Allah's revelation. What will sabotage what you were created for, which is ahsani taqweem, right? To be the best of Allah's creation. To have a reward uninterrupted. Even the day that we get weak and old, even the day we enter our graves, forever the reward will continue. That is a big central theme in what Surah At-Teen reminds us of. And we are so much in need of it. You notice that the theme is always like that. In Surah Juz'amma, it's always telling us human nature and the need for revelation. The need for revelation and human nature. And how people classify against those needs or addressing those needs efficiently. So may Allah Azza wa Jal teach us that which benefits us and benefit us with that which He taught us and increase us in knowledge and in action. Allahumma ameen. Wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. It would have been a full hour if I started the other surah. Yeah. Yeah, some scholars would encourage for people to receive.